All right, Luke chapter number 15 in your Bibles. We're going to begin. This is again the story of the prodigal son, and it's not an unfamiliar story. I think we all know about this passage of Scripture, but I want to point some things out in the passage that God put upon my heart. Let's begin with verse number 11 in this passage, Luke chapter 15 and verse number 11. Notice what the Bible says here. It says, "And he said, a certain man had two sons, and the younger of them said to his father, 'Father, give me the portion of goods that falleth to me.' And he divided unto them his living. And not many days after, the younger son gathered all together and took his journey into a far country, and there he wasted his substance with riotous living. And when he had spent all," notice it was all gone, "there arose a mighty famine in the land. And he began to be in want. And he went and joined himself to a citizen of that country. And he sent him into his fields to feed swine. And he would fain have filled his belly with the husks that the swine did eat. No man gave unto him. And when he came to himself, he said, 'How many hired servants of my father's have bread enough and to spare? And I perish with hunger. I will arise and go to my father. And I will say unto him, Father, I've sinned against heaven and before thee, and am no more worthy to be called thy son. Make me as one of the hired servants.' And he arose and came to his father. But when he was yet a great way off, his father saw him and had compassion on him, and ran and fell on his neck and kissed him. And the son said unto him, 'Father, I have sinned against heaven and in thy sight, and am no more worthy to be called thy son.' But the father said to his servants, 'Bring forth the best robe, put it on him, and put a ring on his hand, shoes on his feet, and bring hither the fatted calf and kill it, and let us eat and be merry. For this, my son was dead and is alive again. He was lost and is found.' And they began to be merry." I want to preach to you tonight, this afternoon, on the eight mistakes the prodigal son made. The eight mistakes that the prodigal son made. Let's pray. Father, bless, we ask thy word this afternoon. Father, thank you for our people. Lord, they're tired, and Lord, they listened well. It's been a long day. And so, Lord, give us just a little bit extra boost, we ask, in these next few moments, Lord, as we hear your word. May the Holy Spirit meet with us in just a wonderful and a powerful way. And may these truths, Lord, we pray, reach into our minds and reach into our own hearts, Lord, that we get what you have for us. I pray in Jesus' name. Amen. The Bible tells us, of course, a story about this man who was known as the prodigal son. It doesn't call him the prodigal son anywhere. And so I believe that this man is a picture of a type of person that makes some mistakes in life in regards to their service for the Lord. You know, the devil is not quit trying to attack his people. The devil is always going to be after us. He's always as a roaring lion, the Bible says, seeking whom he may devour. He's not going to quit working on us until the day we die. The last day of temptation that the devil has for us is the day that you give up the ghost and you die on this earth. But until then, Satan is constantly going to be on our tail. He's constantly going to be trying to get us to make some mistakes. And I believe if we're wise to the mistakes, we can learn from others and say, that's an area I'm not going to go in. I learned not to go in that area. And that's what I see in the admonition of this son called the prodigal son. A picture, Lord, a picture of mistakes that we make in our life. And may it be said that we as Christians never make these simple mistakes. And I want to give them to you for your admonition and also for your encouragement in life, because I believe you can miss that pig pen that he ended up in by being wise about the mistakes that he made. So I want to look at them this afternoon. And I'm going to shotgun him because I know you're tired. Amen? Number one, here's the first mistake he made. He thought, hear me today, he thought the world would be exciting. He thought that the world was going to be exciting. He went to his father and he said, "Father, give me the portion of goods that falleth to me." And the Bible says, not many days after, he took everything he had, he loaded up his horse, his wagon, he went into a far country. He was licking his chops thinking, "This is going to be great. I finally got my freedom. I finally can go do whatever I want to do, and nobody's going to tell me what to do." He thought it was going to be exciting. Can I tell you something? Let me remind you of something. This world is not a giver. The world is a taker. The world does not give to us. They steal from us. Take your Bible. Go with me. Hold your finger there. Go to 1 John chapter 2. I want you to notice a verse here. 1 John and chapter number 2. Now, don't fall asleep, or I preach so long, you just can't handle it. 1 John chapter number 2, and look at verse number 15. Notice what the Bible says about the world. 1 John 2, verse 15. Notice the Bible says, "Love not the world, neither the things that are in the world. If any man love the world, the love of the Father is not in him. For all that is in the world, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, the pride of life is not of the Father, but is of the world. And the world passeth away, and the lust thereof. But he that doeth the will of God abideth forever." I want to tell you, Scripture reminds us that there is no excitement in this world. You may think it's exciting, but I want to tell you, this world is just gonna pass away. I want to tell you, the most exciting place you ever be in your life is a life living right with God and in church. Amen. That's it. You're going to have some mistakes. You're going to go bobble up and down. But hear me, stay in church. Don't get out of church. Don't get going to some liberal church, some church that doesn't preach. You know, pastor's got lace on his socks and a limp wrist and doesn't preach the word very good. Hey, listen, stay away from that. You need the preaching of the word of God. You need it. You need it. I'm saying to you that he made a mistake. He thought the world was going to be exciting. There's nothing more strange than a Christian who thinks that the world is going to give him all that he wants. I won't tell you something. It won't do it. The world will not give you what you seek. The world will steal from you. It will not give to you. It is our spiritual enemy. We are in the world, yes, but we are not of the world. The world is not our joy. Our God is our joy. God is our joy. Number two, there's a second mistake he made. The second mistake he made is he thought that he would have great friends in the world. I imagine him going down there and saying, "Hey, this guy with all the money, he was going to have all the friends in the world. Everything was going to be good." Can I tell you what? The Bible reminds us that when he had spent all, no man gave to him. Nobody gave to him. He thought he'd have all these friends. I want to tell you something about worldly friends. Worldly friends only try to bring you to places that will give you defeat and discouragement in your Christian life. Worldly friends will not encourage you. He thought, "Man, I'm going to have all these friends at my hand. I'm going to get a whole new set of friends. Those church friends, you know, I let them go. Them church friends, you know, I got to get me a new set of friends." Boy, what happened? No man gave unto him. Nobody gave to him. There was no one that was interested in him. But he probably thought going off into that far country, everybody was going to like him and everybody's going to love him. I got news for you. The world does not work like that. It doesn't. Years ago, I was in my office when I was in Colorado, and a young man came riding his bicycle. It was on an Easter Sunday, and I'll never forget, it snowed that Easter Sunday, and I can still see his bicycle tracks through the lawn of the church. After the service, he came to me and he said, "Can I talk to you?" He sat down in my office, and he didn't say a word. He just sat down and started crying. He's a young man, probably 22 years old. I said, "What's wrong?" He looked at me and he said, "You know, I grew up in a good church. I have good parents. We were at church all the time." He said, "But when I was 18, he said, "I left home. I haven't been back in church since. I haven't been to church with my parents in over 4 years. And you know what that guy told me? He said, "Pastor, tell him it's not worth it." Amen. It's not worth it. And listen, my message, this isn't a thing to discourage us. It's to encourage us, to remind us where our real joy is going to be in life. And it's not going to be out in that old world out there. That old world may glitter and glitz and glamour, but I'll tell you something. It's not going to make the friend that you think it's going to make. The best friends you'll ever find are those who love God, and you can serve God with them. Those are the best kind of friends. He made that mistake, though. Number three, he thought that the world loved him more than the Father did. He thought the world loved him more than the Father did. He said, he had forgotten that his Father had taken care of him all his life. He had forgotten how good his Father had been to him. And even when he got to a place where he was kind of rebellious and I think demanding of his Father, he said, "Give me the portion of goods that fall to me." I think he was kind of saying, "I'm out of here. I'm doing my thing. I'm out of here." His Father graciously gave it to him. He forgot how much that Father loved him. And he was thinking the love was out there instead of the love was with his Father. And oh, how many young people make the same mistake. How many make the same mistake. I want to tell you something. There's nobody that loves you more than godly parents. Amen. Nobody. Nobody loves you more than godly parents. And you may forget that for a while. But I want to tell you something. That's what this mistake he made. He made that mistake. Number four, he wanted to control his own life instead of letting God control his life. He said, "I'm going to take the reins of my life, and I'm going to do what I want to do." And you won't find a greater recipe for disaster than to take the reins of your life and say, "I'm just going to do whatever I want to do, whatever I feel like doing." It is a recipe for disaster in your life. It's a recipe for defeat. It's a recipe for heartache. It's a recipe for shame. It's a recipe for regret. It's a recipe for frustration. It's a recipe for bitterness, and it's a recipe for a hardened heart. He wanted to control his life. I want to tell you something. There is no greater thing to do in life than to let God have control of your life. When God has control of your life, and God won't take control, you have to give it to him. You have to allow God, his will, to enter into your life. You have to say, "Lord, I want to do your will, not mine, in life." And he forgot that. He forgot it. He thought if he controlled his life, he'd get the joy he wanted. But where did it go? Where did it bring him? Brought him down, didn't it? Brought him to that pig pen. He's in there. The Bible says he fain would have filled his belly. He wanted to eat the pig food. He was jealous of the hogs. You ever been jealous of a hog? I've never been jealous of a hog before. Amen. Hogs have been jealous of me because I've been eating them half the time, you know. But he said, "Look at that pig food over there. Boy, that looks good. I wish I could eat their food." He didn't think that that's where he'd end up. He didn't think. He thought everything was going to be glitz and glamour, and it was going to be peaches and cream for the rest of his life. But he lost track that only God can take your life and make it blessed. Hear me. Only God can take your life and make it a blessed life. Amen.
And if you'll give your life to God and say, Lord, whatever it is, and that does not mean that God makes you a preacher or a preacher's wife. It doesn't mean that. He might. But it doesn't necessarily mean that. It means that you want God's best in your life, and so you're going to let Him guide you and direct you. And oh, how important that is. Oh, how important it is. Number five, he didn't think there would be any consequences for his actions. He didn't think there'd be any consequences. He thought somehow he could just get out of jail free card. He thought everything was going to be fine. What happened? He spent all, didn't he? He was broke. He was ashamed. He was homeless. He came to himself. He lost his inheritance, didn't he? Do you know that? Here's the thing about a person that goes away and comes back. Thank God for everyone that, even if they leave God and they come back to God, thank God for that. And there's testimonies of people who've done that. And I thank God for them. But hear me, there's always scars that are still remain. There's always scars that still remain. And so it's so worth it not to even go off. And if you do, God will accept you back. Yes, He will. But it may not be exactly as good as you thought, because there's scars. There's scars. It'll be better than staying in the world, that I can tell you. Whole world of difference. But there's always scars that we bear. He didn't think there'd be any consequences. He didn't realize that he'd go home and one day be working for his brother who had it all. He had it all because his inheritance was spent. You know, I say to you today, God forgives, but scars can remain. God forgives, but scars can remain. So, he didn't think of any consequences. Number six, are you still with me? Is that Mexican cheesecake rolling around in there? Boy, I had a piece of that. That stuff was good. Whoever made that, you need to leave me another piece. Good stuff. Amen. Number six, he didn't realize how bad the world would treat him. He didn't realize it. He thought it was going to be great. I got news for you. The world just doesn't treat you good. They don't. They're not going to love you like that person in the pew in front of you or that person in the pew behind you. They're not going to love you that way. It can be a frightful thing in this world. But he didn't realize it. No one came to help him. He even lost the bare necessities of life. His clothing. When he went back to his father had to put shoes on him. Did he even think that he'd lose his shoes? I doubt it. I don't think he even thought that living that life would lose it. I think he thought he'd have 20 new pairs of shoes. But he lost his shoes. He didn't even have shoes. See, the world will always treat you worse than you think. It will. It will. You say, well, if I go off into the world, I can always come back. Remember something. Sometimes some people never make it back. Some never make it back. And can I say to you, it's not worth it to get out there. It's not worth it. The best place to stay is right with the Father, right close to God, right walking with Him, staying in church where an old-fashioned preacher will holler at you every once in a while. Amen? I need to be hollered at every once in a while, not by you. Mrs. Bingham does a good job at that anyhow. But, hey, we all need that. We all need that. That keeps us sharp. This old world will not be nice to you. They will take from you. He didn't realize how bad they would treat him. He didn't realize. Number seven, He forgot to use wisdom in the beginning of his decisions. Instead, life had to teach him hard lessons. You know, I think we're going to learn in life, but we're going to learn one of two ways. We're either going to learn with wisdom in the beginning, or we're going to learn a hard way in the end. Which way would you like to learn God's truths? Amen. I want to learn God's truths with wisdom in the beginning. I think it's smarter to build a fence at the top of the cliff rather than put an ambulance at the bottom of the cliff. You know? And sometimes somebody will say, oh, preacher, that happens to everybody else, but it'll never happen to me. Listen, the devil's hoping you think that. He's hoping that's in your mind, because that's the exact deception he can use to end up in the place, this young man. He forgot to use wisdom in the beginning. Let me encourage you to take the truths of the Word of God, implement them in your life today. Amen? Learn to date right. Learn to make decisions right. Learn to serve the Lord right. Learn to say no to sin and evil influences. Learn to say no to bad friends. Learn to say no to these things. These things are not your friends, even though the devil may deceive you into thinking that they are. But they're not. They're not. He thought, if he'd have thought in the beginning, where do my decisions lead me? You know what? He might have taken that inheritance money and instead of gone to a far country, maybe started his own farm, never had to go through the scars, never had to endure the pain, and never have to work for his brother the rest of his life. Life would have been a whole lot better had he just been wise in the beginning. And you know, when we make decisions in life, God isn't going to force you to make decisions, good decisions. You have to be willing to do that on your own. But if you are, God will bless you. God will bless you. Before my wife and I were married, we decided we weren't going to mess around before we get married. And I wanted to kiss her. I wanted to kiss her before I got married. We dated 3 years. Didn't even hold hands. I had to learn how to hold hands. But I got it figured out. Amen. Listen. Make good decisions today. Make decisions right with the Lord today, because you have the consequences of those decisions, not somebody else. They're your decisions and they're your consequences. And may I tell you what? That mother or their dad who's always encouraging you to do right is not on your back because they don't love you. They're there because they do love you. And they want to see you do well in life. Amen. Oh, realize that. One more point and I'm done this afternoon. He thought his father might reject him if he returned. Did you know that? He thought his father, there was a chance if he returned, my dad's going to say no. Notice what he said. He actually rehearsed what he was going to say to his father when he came back. Notice this. Luke chapter 15. In verse 17, it says, and when he came to himself, he said, how many hired servants of my father's have bread enough and to spare, and I perish with hunger? I will arise and go to my father, and I will say unto him. Now, he's rehearsing what he's going to say. You ever done that before? You ever rehearse what you're going to say before you get to that place? Okay. This is what he's doing. He's rehearsing it, and he's saying, I'm going to go to my dad, and here's what I'm going to say. I'm going to say, now, Dad, I have sinned against you in heaven, and I'm not worthy to be called your son. Make me one of your hired servants. And I think all the way home he was saying, Father, I'm not worthy to be called thy son. Make me as one of thy hired servants. Father, I'm not worthy to be called your son. Make me as one of your hired servants. I think this is replaying in his mind. He's going over this soon. And there he goes. Finally, the time comes. He meets his father. And he sees his father. And he says, "Father, here I am." "Okay. But did you know that the father saw him before he got actually home?" I think the father was looking for him. I think the father knew he'd be coming home any day now. And I better keep my eyes peeled on the horizon. And I better watch for my son because he's coming. I know him. He's ran out of money. He's ran out of everything. He's coming home. And what happened? Sure enough, on the horizon, the father ran to him. He must have been looking for him if he ran to him. He ran to him. And just as he was ready to get those words out of his mouth, "Father, I've sinned and I'm no more worthy to be called thy son." Just as soon as he's ready to get those words out, the father interrupted. "Hey, bring a robe over here. Hey, bring a ring over here. Yeah, he needs some shoes too. Size 12 Nikes. Bring them over here. He needs some shoes. Get some shoes. Put some shoes on his feet. He lost all. Father, I have no more sin. Hey, go kill the fatted calf. Woo, we're going to have a potluck tonight. Man, kill that fatted calf. It's going to be good. Father, I'm no more sin and I'm no more worthy. Hey, my son's come home. All the servants gather together. Woo, it's going to be good." The father couldn't hear his repentance because his love overcame it. And here this son was thinking, "If I go back to my dad, he just may reject me." And he saw the exact opposite. He saw the exact opposite. And can I remind you and tell you, you may end up just like him one day. God forbid you do. But if you ever do, you better remember something. There is a great forgiveness in the sight of God. Yes, there is. Now, don't use that as an excuse to go into it, knowing that you can always fall back on God's forgiveness. Don't frustrate the grace of God. Amen? But if you ever fall, if you ever get messed up, the first thing you're going to think is, those church people don't want me back again. That pastor surely doesn't want to see me. I'm going to tell you something. You're the one we've been praying for. You're the one we've been thinking about. You're the one that's been on our mind, not absent from our mind. I'm simply saying he thought his father would reject him. But his father surprised him. And in his father's response, he found joy, restoration. He found kindness in his father's eyes. He found out the hard way that the father was the source of true love and not the world. He found that out the hard way. But thank God he found it out. Thank God he found out the love of his father was so much better than the world. And I think he was going back ready to tell his father, "Dad, you wouldn't believe what I've seen. You wouldn't believe the stuff I've been through." And I think the father probably said, "I can only imagine. But it doesn't matter now. It doesn't matter now because you're home now. And you're safe." You see, God always has a heart for his children. And he's the one that when a 90 and 9 stay in the fold and the one leaves, he's going after the one. That's the kind of God we serve. I'm thankful for that. I say to you today that I stand as a preacher. I didn't grow up in a preacher's home, and I didn't grow up in a bad or rough home, so to speak. I had Christian parents. We went to church, and I'm thank God for that. But I want to tell you something. There were times in my life when I could have went off that, you know, thought the world was so much brighter. So much better. I just thank God today the grace of God held me. And the grace of God can hold you and me too in our lives. And don't you ever forget this. Don't you ever forget it.
There's always a God that loves you and cares about you. Now, he didn't feel it, did he? He didn't feel his father's love when he was in that pig pen, but when he got out and he came back to his father, that's when he understood what love was. And hear me tonight. Hear me. This may not be a sermon you need today. This may not be a message you need this year. But I'll promise you, there may be a day when you're going to need to know what that prodigal son did. And I pray to God, you'll see what mistakes he made. And say, dear Lord, I don't want to make those mistakes in my life. I want to please you. I want to live for you. I want to abide in the Father's house because I know that's where the real love of God is. Amen. Let's bow our heads tonight.